From the KLYT broadcast studio, this is ABQ Connect. Your input on today's topic is important to us. Join in the conversation by calling 505-338-5790. That's 505-338-5790. Or text 505-585-LIVE. That's 505-585-5483. Now let's join our host, Jim Williams, on ABQ Connect.
Welcome to ABQ Connect. I'm joined by Steve Stucker. He is the co-chair of New Mexico Men of Honor. Of course, most of us know him as New Mexico's weatherman on Eyewitness News Today, KOB-TV. And Steve, it's always a joy here. One thing I just noticed, just non-verbally, is you are so comfortable with a microphone that we're talking and we're visiting and that microphone's all lined up. And it's like a person that you've known your whole life, isn't it?
Some people said the most dangerous place to be standing in town is between my face and a microphone, because I'll rush to get to it. Thanks, Jim.
Well,
appreciate being on.
No, I think it's fantastic. And today is, you're going to have a special event with the Mexico Men of Honor. And again, you do those events quarterly.
Yeah.
Tell us about New Mexico Men of Honor.
Well, it's a group that is designed to bring men together from all over the state, regardless of where they go to church. We don't want to have any turf battles or in a territorial kind of a mindset. We want believers to know that they're not the only ones. You may be part of a very small church and look around and see that there's only 15 or 20 other men in your stage of life, in your set of circumstances. But we want you to know that there are literally thousands of others around the state who think the same way, who believe the same way, and even maybe more importantly, are struggling with the same kinds of things in their walk with Jesus. So New Mexico Men of Honor is designed as quarterly get-togethers where 3-4 times a year we hope you can make it. We always have guest speakers. We move the venues around to different places, and we'll make each of them a little bit different. But the basic idea is to have some fun, some fellowship, and some encouragement for this life circumstance, the situations that we all find ourselves in.
So the next event is July 22nd. Justin Hawkins, who's a former professional basketball player, and he's currently the director of FCA Basketball Fellowship of Christian Athletes, he'll be speaking July 22nd at Casa del Rey Church, the King's House, 2500 Corona Drive Northwest. Shout out to Reverend Ruben Guardo. He is opening up that church.
Yeah.
What a neat thing.
Our first time over there, and we're excited about it. I heard you interviewing Justin a week or two ago, right?
Yeah, Justin was, he came on. Of course, I'm willing to talk to basketball guys anytime. I'm teasing, you know.
Yeah, a little bit of a connection there.
I love basketball, obviously, but it's amazing to me that a young man like Justin is, you know, he's a guy that is, you know, been called to ministry.
Yes.
And, you know, he left a career in professional basketball because he has this calling on his life. And I know what that itch is, that you still think you can play and you can still do this and that. But there comes a time where God says, okay, that was a season, and now it's time for you to be with me and serve me and do that really kind of exclusively.
And another thing that you have in common with him is your calling to take that basketball connection to the younger generation and not just teach them the X's and O's on the chalkboard or the move in the post, but how to be a godly man, to be an example, and especially a Christian example for these kids who in many, many, perhaps most cases these days don't have anybody else like that to look to.
Yeah, a lot of the young people we have today don't have a lot of participation from their parents. And Steve, that's kind of what New Mexico Men of Honor is about. So I wanted to ask you, do you think men in general have lost their confidence to lead as men?
Well, I think a lot of men have, yes. You know, it's always been a male-centric society here for, 246 years? Not so much the past 30 or 40. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of guys feel beat up. And I can see why. If you look at soap operas or even the comedies on television, dads are typically buffoons or fools or absent or have portrayed as as just not being very worthwhile. And in some cases, unfortunately, that mirrors our society today. I think that our nation at large has drifted, strongly shifted away from the values of Christianity, what we were all taught as kids being brought up in the church. And I think that there are a lot of guys who feel that there's no reason to be confident. They're made to feel that they're wrong just by being born as a male. Yet there are a lot of guys who know the Lord, who may have questions and doubts about what they should do or how they should do it, but yet know that God has called them to lead their family, to step up and not just do that, but to lead others in their neighborhood, in their community. And through New Mexico Men of Honor, we're trying to both encourage guys that are discouraged and to bring new men into the fold. So those of us who've been doing this a while longer, perhaps, or have a little better viewpoint on it, can lift others up and bring even more to know Jesus as Lord and Savior.
Steve, have you always led as a Christian man?
No, no, not at all. When I became a believer here at Calvary, about 35 years ago, I sat in the background as much as I could. I really had a lot of guilt. I was raised in the church and I knew better, but at 12 or 13, I decided I wanted to be cool and fun and popular. And I basically ran away kicking and screaming and never came back until I was in my 30s. So I felt disqualified. I felt I had dishonored God. And all those things were true, but he accepted me back with open arms. And, little by little, I saw other men who weren't pastors step into leadership roles. I admired what they did. I'll never forget coming to a men's gathering of some sort here at Calvary on a Friday night, and a guy who wasn't a pastor got up and did a sermon, and it was good. And I was like, I didn't know you couldn't do that. I didn't know you were even allowed to do that if you didn't go to seminary and didn't have a degree. And that was probably that first little seed that was planted in my brain that, well, maybe God's got something bigger and better for you. But little by little, I kind of got, you know, sucked into leading a home fellowship. That was the start. And I was scared to death. I didn't know enough. I didn't feel qualified. I wasn't. But God rarely calls the qualified. Skip has always taught he qualifies the called. And so little by little, here we go.
You've already mentioned how the culture is attacking men, but we hear terms like toxic masculinity.
Yeah.
Can you be masculine and still be a spiritual leader of your home?
Oh, yeah. And you know, the problem with terms like toxic masculinity are when they're applied broadly to everyone that's a male. Like I said earlier, I'm just guilty by being born the way I was born. There has been, for thousands of years, toxic masculinity. There have been things that men as a group did and said and expected that are wrong every way I can look at it. Certainly wrong even with God's standards. And there's a lot of people who considered themselves church leaders or godly men who did things in a wrong way. The Pharisees in the Old Testament times were great examples that Jesus pointed out as hypocrites, that they think they know God's word. They pretend like they're serving the Lord, but they're all about themselves. And so, yeah, there is toxicity in the male part of the population for some of them. But there's also a huge percentage of men who want to be good, who want to be right, who want to take care of their families, who want to be a good example for others. That doesn't mean we think we're perfect. As a matter of fact, I believe very strongly that strong Christians recognize our imperfections and know that we've got a long ways to go. But while we're reaching up for leadership and guidance from those who are ahead of us in their walk with Christ and from the Lord himself, we're also reaching down to those that are just coming into the faith or are struggling with certain areas of being a father or a husband or a leader.
When you say live in Christ or being a Christian uh-huh. man, does that mean life will be boring and religious?
Well, it could be if you're boring and religious. I've always been transparent about some of my issues that I really struggled with in those years between the ages of 13 and 33 when I ran away from the church. And one of them was, you know, my long periods of time with drugs and alcohol, mainly marijuana. I turned into, shamefully, a pothead for a long, long time. I was terribly addicted. And as I became a believer, I kind of started wondering just that. It's like, gosh, I know I'm not supposed to be doing these things, but I don't know if I can have any fun that way. And I tell you, the short way I describe this now is that, you know, I can still go to a party these days. The difference is now I remember everything that happened the next day. And no, life is a blast, and serving the Lord, meeting people, doing things, having opportunities that you never would have had otherwise. It is fun, and anybody that paints it otherwise is not doing it in the way that God intends.
You know, I have people all the time talk about intimacy, and intimacy in the world means something a lot different than us. So as a Christian man, is intimacy in Christian marriage different than relationships promoted by our culture? I mean that at all levels, emotionally, sexually, spiritually, and intellectually.
Yeah, deep subject. I mean, you probably need to bring some PhDs in on that, Jim. You know, we have slidden into a pit of considering sex itself as intimacy when very, very often it's not. It's just casual. What was the term? Friends with benefits became popular long ago, where just indicating that, you know, a male and female would have a sexual relationship with no intimacy at all and no plans for that. God has designed and intended intimacy for very important reasons. And he designed it, first of all, between himself and us as his creations, and then between us and our spouse, a man and a woman, a married couple. And intimacy, to reach its fullness, needs to go so much beyond the sexual relationship, even so much beyond just holding hands or hugging each other or saying nice things. Intimacy needs to be the respect and the willingness to think more highly of the other person's wellness than you do of your own. It's you know, the intimacy that someone goes through when they're caring for an older, aging, ailing parent, the same intimacy that they gave us when we were a brand new infant and totally helpless. And through Christ, the church, when it's done right, develops intimacy between its members, not in a sexual way, not in a physical way. We know that's wrong, but in a way where we don't just say, hi, how you doing? Hey, have a great day. But we want to know, really, how are you doing? What's been going on with your son? Not because I'm nosy, but because a couple of weeks ago, you mentioned to me that you were having some issues, and I've been praying about it. And I have a vested interest in how you and your family are doing. And then that intimacy should grow outside the church so that others who maybe don't like us, or maybe are suspicious of us, or more and more commonly these days, people that don't even know what a church is all about, can experience that intimacy through a total stranger or a group of total strangers who would come in and pour something powerful and positive into their lives, because that's what Jesus leads us to do.
Steve Stucker is the co-chair of New Mexico Men of Honor. In studio with us today, we're talking about the event with New Mexico Men of Honor. It's going to be July 22nd at Casa del Rey Church, the King's House, 2500 Corona Drive Northwest in Albuquerque. There'll be food trucks, a special time for men from churches, and men of no faith, men of great faith. Whoever wants to come needs to come, because I think all men will benefit. When we come back, we're going to talk about why wives, mothers, even girlfriends might want their man to be at these events.
You got it.
We'll be back after these messages.
Hi, this is Adam Holtz, and you're listening to Plugged In. In the new movie Thor, Love and Thunder, Marvel's Norse god returns for his fourth solo film. This time around, Thor faces off against a new enemy with a hatred of all deities, a bad guy named Gorr, the God Butcher.
So this is my vow. All gods shall die.
Gorr, we learn, has a deeply personal reason for his crusade against deities of all kinds. That puts him on a collision course with Thor, who's been reunited with his old flame, Jane Foster. Turns out, she's a superhero now, too. We see lots of tender moments here, but they're surrounded by violence, sensuality, problematic spirituality, and profanity. So we're giving Thor Love and Thunder a 2 out of 5 for family friendliness. Read the full review at PluggedIn.com/radio. I'm Adam Holtz for Focus on the Family's Plugged In Movie Review.
For over 50 years, Albuquerque Christian Children's Home has helped hundreds of children move from situations of abuse and neglect to a life full of hope. Sponsors like Altered State, a women's clothing boutique, help to make that possible by featuring ACCH in their Mission Monday campaign this quarter. Each Monday through July 11th, Altered State and ABQ Uptown will donate 10% of their net proceeds to Albuquerque Christian Children's Home. For details, call 505-898-5520.
Today, a word of caution about ambition.
For Family Life Blended, here's Ron Deal.
Wait, you thought ambition was good. What could be so bad about striving to achieve your goals, wanting to be on top, right? You see, that's just it. Relying on yourself is a subtle act of being independent of God, becoming your own God. And that's pride. And that's why David in Psalm 131 cautions us about ambition. I have calmed and quieted my ambition, he says. The better option? David encourages us to trust God and be content with what he provides. So what about you? What about you and your family? Are you trusting God or taking measures into your own hands? For Family Life Blended, I'm Ron Deal.
To find out more, visit FamilyLifeBlended.com.
You're listening to KLYT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams. There is still time to join the conversation by calling 505-338-5790. That's 505-338-5790. Or text 505-585-LIVE. That's 505-585-5483. Today's show is sponsored in part by Ben Lucero at Indigo Mortgage, 505-836-5700. That's 505-836-5700 or online at indigomortgage.net. Thank you, Indigo Mortgage, for your support of KLYT and ABQ Connect.
Coming up in a couple Saturdays from now, July 22nd, or actually Friday, I guess that's a Friday. July 22nd, Justin Hawkins, professional basketball player and director of the Fellowship of Christian Athletes Basketball Ministry, will be speaking at Casa del Rey Church as part of the New Mexico Men of Honors quarterly event. Pastor Steve Stucker in studio with me. He's one of the co-chairs of New Mexico Men of Honor. Steve, why would a wife, mother, or even a girlfriend want their man to be part of this event?
Well, because an hour or two with us and they'll come back as the perfect guy. Not. But you know, even if you're blessed with a man in your life, boyfriend, husband, brother, friend, a son who is involved in church, we firmly believe that events like this will make him better in his relationship with you, more sensitive to who you are and what you wish he was. Not that, you know, anybody's going to change dramatically or drastically from coming to something like this, but it's the beginning. I know for myself, for many, many years, I was involved in church, but I never went to men's events. I don't know. There's something in most of us guys where we really don't join anything unless maybe it's a bowling league or a sports team or something like that, you know. Our wives, our girlfriends, I mean, they'll get up and go out in a group at the drop of a hat. But our guys' nature is to be more of sort of lone wolves. And unfortunately, that happens even in church. And a lot of churches don't even have men's ministries. Or if they do, a lot of them are very small and, oh, I don't know, kind of stilted. So New Mexico Men of Honor, it wasn't my idea, but I've been involved for quite a long time, and I've been really pleased with what I see. We get men from all across the financial status spectrum, from Catholic churches, from denominational, non-denominational churches, home churches, great big ones, little tiny ones. And we get men that come in from farther away, like Ruidoso or Clovis or Gallup. We've got a pastor friend, with a church in Grants, who's invited me to teach, and he brings his men in. We also get quite a bit of response from life rescue groups here in town, U-Turn for Christ, and some of the other organizations like that, that are bringing in men who have hit bottom and have turned to this organization to show them how to walk with the Lord. And what the beauty of our organization and our get-togethers is that these guys will come in and they're very comfortable in sitting with and speaking with and sharing with guys who may be very successful business leaders or men who may be fathers or guys that are just getting started on their own in life and are in their early teens or 20s. It's a mix of everybody's invited. And let's take all our differences, where we go to church, minor differences on how we worship or how we take communion or when we hold our services or things like that that aren't really basic structures and pillars of the foundation of the church. We set those aside and we say, what do we have in common? And we begin to build from there. And there's really a lot that can come out of it. So, long answer, but ladies, you will benefit. My wife, over the years, has seen me grow since I started at the very beginning to finally go to men's retreats. I've developed three or four very close Christian brothers, and getting together with them just to spend an afternoon or a couple of hours makes a big difference. And, you know, the standard old thing is going way, way back to the 60s is guys going out with the guys, he's probably going to get in some trouble. My wife actually once in a while will say, I think you need to go out with your buddy, Steve, because she sees the benefits and I can talk with them. We can be open. We could be honest. We can share our struggles and our successes together, share the word, encourage each other, be there as a listener, as a friend, as a supporter. And it makes a tremendous difference.
You opened up the show by talking about bringing men from all kinds of different churches, all walks of life. You've just kind of give us an illustration there. It's interesting you bring up U-Turn for Christ, because Pastor Mike Gomez has come on the show. He and Evangeline were on the show last week and talking about U-Turn for Christ, and they basically have an addiction treatment ministry.
Yeah.
And a lot of people actually become pastors and leaders in the church.
Isn't that great?
And they have both men and women. But here's the thing that was fascinating to me, and I thanked Mike publicly for this. The campus of Calvary Church, for example, we were trying to get the campus ready for Freedom Celebration.
And here
July
they come.
1st. U-Turn for Christ shows up, and you're talking about men that are, you're talking about executives, you're talking about laborers, you're talking about men from all kinds of different walks of life. Come on this campus, completely humble, and just do whatever it takes to get everything ready. And I'm so blessed that they did that.
Yeah.
And there's no way we could have finished without their help. And they don't just do that for Calvary. They do that for other people.
Oh, yeah. We're weekly partners with them through my ministry, Beds for Kids. Mm-hmm. And we share finances with them because they do wonderful things with us. We were able to gift them with a brand new professional stove last Christmas.
Nice.
for the kitchen at the home. But I love Pastor Mike, and I love the program. I've become close with many of the men as they go through that. They've come to a place in their lives where they've hit bottom, and they've come to them for help through restoration with a relationship with Jesus Christ. And New Mexico Men of Honor is open to people like that. There's probably 3 to 5 of the rescue groups that come to any of our, or almost all of our get-togethers, along with, like I said, men who are at the upper echelon of success in society, and all of us who are in between, just, trying to get through step by step, day by day.
Well, and you mentioned how it benefits families, especially wives, mothers, girlfriends, et cetera, but it also benefits the churches.
Oh, yeah. It really should. And we've seen numerous numerous examples, heard of stories of guys who've gone back to their church and started men's ministries, even in small churches. And you know, you talked earlier about men in leadership. We a lot of times just need encouragement that you're not the only one going through that. You know, when the prophet was in the cave crying to God that I'm the only one and everybody's against me. And God said, no, there, I've got 7,000 others just like you and you're not alone. And there's such great strength and comfort in knowing that I may feel overwhelmed. I may feel outnumbered. Maybe I'm the only guy at church that's a believer and they give me a real hard time about it. But there are many, many other men out there who are courageous. There are others who want to be courageous, and by drawing together and pooling our strengths and our experiences together, that grows.
I'm going to paraphrase something you said earlier. You deemed yourself disqualified from leading spiritually because of your past. What do you have to say to men that are disqualifying themselves right now?
I laugh. I know God has a great sense of humor. I will say if he can use an idiot like me, he can use anybody. And I don't say that dismissively. I mean, I did so many wrong things, horrible things, things that I'm still embarrassed about. When I run into people that, you know, with glee say, oh yeah, I knew you back when you first moved to New Mexico 40 years ago, I just automatically kind of cringe, hoping that it's like, well, I hope it was a good experience, because who knows? And not that I'm perfect now, but God will take you where you are. Pastor Skip has taught for many, many decades now. He loves you too much to leave you that way. And while you may feel disqualified, there are dozens of examples in the Bible of people that he picked as spiritual leaders. Moses had a speech impediment and was a murderer. But God picked him anyway. In the eyes of the world, he was disqualified, but not in God. Same way with King David. The family didn't even consider him. Oh, yeah, well, him? No, he's the little kid. Yeah, he's out taking care of the sheep. Why would you want to talk to him? God knew he was the one he was going to choose. And if you're listening today or you're listening and want to talk to your husband or your son about this, I promise I don't know them personally, but I know God has bigger plans than what they're currently doing in their lives.
Steve Stucker is with us. He's the co-chair of New Mexico Men of Honor. We'll have another half an hour with Steve. I hope you'll stay with us. It'll be really encouraging to you. We'll be right back.
John Chitwood of Southern Boulevard Automotive.
I have towed many vehicles in for repair, with the customer stating the car just stalled while I was driving. After diagnosing it, I've had to make that phone call many times and state to the customer, you're out of gas and you need to refuel. Many Christians are like that. They need to be refueling daily with God's word in order to keep themselves moving forward and to have the mind of Christ. Dwight L. Moody was once asked why he urged Christians to be filled constantly with the Holy Spirit. He replied, I need continuous and filling because I leak. What gauge do you use in your life to know if you're running on empty of the infilling of God's Spirit?
Southern Boulevard Automotive, 2300 Southern Boulevard in Rio Rancho, 892-2300 or southernblvdautomotive.com. Thank you, John Chitwood at Southern Boulevard Automotive, for your support of KLYT 88.3 FM.
Going to church is a great way to learn about God. But what if you want to learn more, go deeper? Calvary College offers classes in biblical studies, courses like Worldview Apologetics. Learn how to defend your faith on your schedule. Take evening classes on campus or online. And transfer credits to Calvary Chapel University or Veritas International University for an accredited college degree that will impact your spiritual life for the rest of your life. Apply now at CalvaryChurchCollege.com.
Hi, I'm Johnny Erickson Tata, and I have a very special affection for Psalm 103. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Dizzy. When I bless the Lord in prayer, sometimes I've got to force all the lazy, tired parts of me to join in with my soul. After decades of quadriplegia, my bones are tired. But even when I'm struggling, I bear down and pray, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name and forget not all his benefits. Because, friend, I know from experience that physical hardship can cloud our confidence about God's benefits. So, the next time your muscles ache, or your head throbs with a migraine, or your feet cramp. Force these body parts to get in line. Come on, tired and weary, they may be, but they can join your soul in praising God. Command every part of you to stand at attention and come into alignment, because you are blessing the Lord.
On KLYT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams. Join the conversation by calling 505-338-5790 or text 505-585-LIVE.
Thank you to Abby Williams for bringing us on and off the air this afternoon. I appreciate Ab and all she does for us. Steve Stucker, he is the co-chair of New Mexico Men of Honor. He's also the founder and president of Beds for Kids. He serves as an assistant pastor with New Covenant Church at 7201 Paseo del Norte. And in fact, Steve, you're going to be teaching this Sunday.
Yeah, I've had the honor of teaching, 14, 15 times since February. We're searching for a new senior pastor. So we've been having guests speak, and I've been blessed to fill in most of the other slots. We're talking a minute ago about being unqualified. I should be the poster child. It's a love-hate relationship. It's a lot of work. Being here listening to Pastor Skip for 22, 23 years and him talking about the time and dedication that he puts into each sermon, for me, I don't know, it probably takes me at least 20 hours of reading and writing and preparation and lots of praying. And, oh, talk about getting attacked. I have never been attacked so much spiritually as when I'm going to teach, and especially the night before. It's amazing, Jim. You know, you can work all week on a lesson and you think it's good, and the night before, man, the evil one is going to shoot those fiery darts into your mind. This stinks. This is terrible. What makes you think you can preach the word of God? And you have to get to the point where you recognize it for what it is and pray your way through it and really just depend on the Lord to overlook your inadequacies and speak to everybody in the room through his word.
But the Holy Spirit does bring you peace.
Oh, yeah.
Through all of that, doesn't
it? Oh, yeah. You know, peace is something that we think of as lack of war, but it's really so much deeper than that. Isaiah 26:3 is just such a foundation for me. Whenever I feel anxiety, you will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. Trust in the Lord always, for the Lord God is our rock. And so when I can fix my mind on God, when I'm starting to get nervous about anything or worried that I'm not going to have enough volunteers or that something's going to go wrong or that my health's not going to be good or that one of my children is having problems, whatever it is, we can come to peace. And Scripture teaches that the peace of God is supernatural. It surpasses all human understanding. I had a dear friend, lived to be 97 years of age, Bill Fry at New Covenant Church. He was the very first person to ever ask me to do his funeral service. And I was kind of shocked. Nobody had ever done that. And he was still healthy at the time. But Bill, as he was in his final days of life, he would repeat to me, "It surpasses all understanding. It surpasses all understanding." And I quickly came to realize he was quoting Scripture, and though he was in discomfort, he was at peace, knowing that he was getting closer and closer to seeing Jesus face to face. I mean, talk about peace. That's it.
If you look back at your life to that period between 12 and 35, I think you said, were you at peace about what you were doing?
Oh, no. I was full of myself. I thought I was doing great. You know, I would have told you life's a party and I'm invited to most of them. And I thought I was fine. I was outwardly having fun. I guess I fooled myself more than anybody else. But as I got deeper and deeper into it and my problems started to surface, I mean, I was a good worker. I showed up. I tried hard. Outwardly, my career was great. But, you know, you look back and I went through like 4 jobs in 4 years. And my marriage broke up. And I was diagnosed as being clinically depressed. And I was. I got to the point where I saw no reason for living another day. Thankfully, I had a little son already, and I loved him so much. For all that I did wrong, I knew that I couldn't leave him without a father. And God literally used him to slap me into the realization that this is not who you were created to be. And I was pretty slow on the uptake, even when I came back to church. It took me quite a long time to get it. But thank God I did, because it has just made such a difference. I'm not always happy now, but almost without fail, I can find the joy within a few moments, particularly if I'm reminded of it. I use the term, joy doesn't always lay right there on the surface like a big golden nugget or a sparkling diamond. You have to mine for it. A lot of times you got to brush off the dust or you got to dig down a little bit. But life is filled with joy if we'll just look for it and recognize that Jesus is the source of it. We've got access to all we want.
And you've said at that time of your life you were full of Steve.
Yeah.
Now you have invited other men to speak into your life.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. A number of pastors, of spiritual mentors, even men who are younger than me as far as chronological age, but are ahead of me in their knowledge and understanding of our walk, our relationship with Jesus. And I love that. And sometimes they come to me with messages that they feel are important for me to understand. Sometimes they come to me with correction or criticism that I need to take in the right way. And then I'm able in many cases to kind of pass that down to those who are where I was when I first came into the church.
I tell people all the time, my favorite scripture is Hebrews 12:11. It says, discipline is never pleasant. In fact, hurtful.
Yeah.
But it yields for those. It gives back more than you put into it, the peaceful fruit of righteousness.
Yeah. And again, it's like sports or dieting. You know, there's a difference between what we like and what we need, between what we want and what we should do. And a good relationship with God will eventually give you all those things, because the Lord will change you so much that what you like and what you want will shift into being in line with His will for your life.
How do men participate in your quarterly events with the Mexico Men of Honor?
It's pretty detailed, pretty complicated. Show up. All you have to do is be there. All the events we've done to this point, except for one, were free. We did a big barbecue one time and charged, I think, $10 for a great big meal.
That was the Beast Feast.
Yeah, the Beast Feast. Nobody complained about that. But, you know, they're free. They're low pressure. You're not going to be pestered. We will. The pushiest thing we do is we ask you to volunteer your email so that you can be on our contact list for the next event. But it's very casual, and yet it's organized. It's focused. We usually have, you know, anywhere from 3 to 4 different men up on stage throughout the evening, sometimes a few more. Usually we try and move through a couple of different local pastors. They may be praying or talking about something. Chip Lusko has been up on stage with us several times talking about his campaign for Where's Dad? And then we'll have a guest speaker. I had the honor of being a guest speaker at our last event. Mm-hmm. And it's just a cool kind of a thing. I've got a friend, Nick, who comes in from Ruidoso almost every time. He takes off work to come on a Friday night because it's valuable to him, and he feels it's worthwhile. And we invite guys from all over. And if you've come before, you know it's easy to bring a friend. And it's a Christian gathering, but non-believers are more than welcome. Seekers are welcome. We're not going to be pushy. We're not going to be forceful, and we're certainly not going to ostracize you. We just want you to see that we're normal guys too, and that we have a deep faith in Jesus Christ as our Savior, and that we are doing our best to live our life according to His guidelines. And opposite of common belief, it can be a lot of fun and a lot of excitement if we allow it to.
If to this point in a man's life they've been doing the wrong things, what do they need to do to have a relationship with God?
You know, that's personal for me, because for so long I felt that if I ever walked back in a church that God would probably strike it with lightning and burn it down. I was raised to know what was right and wrong, and I willingly went against what I knew I should have been doing for so many years. I was really embarrassed to come back into a church. Maybe you're like that, or maybe you just don't know. And, you know, so many of the things I was doing then, I knew were wrong. There were a lot of other things that had slipped into my life that I had no clue there was anything wrong with. But the people at church, and at that time it was here at Big Calvary, as I call it now, they were so kind and so understanding. My language wasn't very, very good. It was quite coarse to be kind to myself, and I'd say things sometimes without even thinking about it, and I'd see the shocked look on their face, but nobody ever put their finger in my face and said, "We don't talk like that around here," or, you know, once in a while, I know one time I was talking at a group dinner and just talking in conversation, and it's like, "Well, yeah, gosh, I'm really, really thankful for this church thing, and I'm just working hard trying to get into heaven." And they gently corrected me, "Well, heaven's not anything you can work your way into, Steve. Salvation's a free gift." But they were kind and they were gentle and they were caring. And so, you know, guys, if you know you're on the wrong track, come and hang out for a night. It takes usually about 90 minutes, maybe 2 hours with the time for refreshments afterwards that we leave open. Just come with the idea that let me hear what they have to say. And I am confident that in some way or another, God will speak to you, that you're not going to hear some big booming voice that says, "Go to church on Sunday." But it's going to be like, "Gosh, that's just what I was thinking about yesterday," or, "He's talking about what I'm struggling with," or, "I thought I was the only one going through this with my wife and with my kids." And God will speak to you in a number of ways, and hopefully you'll make one or two friends, and you'll follow up and be able to get together with them a time or two or maybe more between then and our next quarterly event, and then you'll be able to come back the next time and bring somebody else. But our goal really is not just these quarterly events, but that men would be drawn into deeper relationships with each other as brothers in Christ and friends with each other. And we know Scripture says iron sharpens iron. So here we go.
Steve, if you were faced with something today, do you have men that you could call and say, "I need you to pray for me about this"?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I just came from a luncheon with a man that I'm close to that I haven't talked to in quite a long time. And we talked about some very deep and personal things. I have, you know, on speed dial, a number of people that I trust completely with, the most detailed things in my life, because I know it will never escape their lips that they will listen to me. They'll hear me out. They'll give good Bible-based spiritual advice if it's needed, and that they'll pray for me. And there's power in those things, and they know I would do and have done the same things for them.
You said speed dial. It automatically made me think of a Steve Stucker-type joke. Here it is. I put my grandmother on speed dial, and I call it Instagram.
Oh, that's so bad.
We'll be back with Steve Stucker for our final segment. Stay with us on ABQ Connect.
Calvary Chapel New Harvest is located in the heart of Valencia County and serves the community of Los Lunas and the surrounding area. They gather Sunday morning for worship services at 8 and 10, and the Wednesday night service at 7, led by Pastor David Maestas. Located on Main Street, they also provide programs for kids and youth. Find more details at calvarynhll.org.
Hi, this is Carrie Jobe, and here's a special word from an incredible pastor in my life, Pastor Robert Morris.
We're talking about expressing our love to God, express love, which is worship. I'm not trying, though, to get everyone to express your love the same way. Now, I know we have different gifts and different personalities and things, but I still want every person to express his or her love to God. And here's what I want to say about this. The main reason that many, many people don't really express their love to God or really worship in a scriptural way, according to scriptural expressions, the main reason we don't, listen, is because many people grew up in a dysfunctional family. That's the main reason. But please hear me. You're in a new family now. You have been adopted into the family of God. You are not in a dysfunctional family anymore. Jesus and the Father are not dysfunctional. And you're not in a dysfunctional family anymore.
For more worship in the Word, visit PastorRobert.com.
Did you hear about the preacher who began his sermon by saying, "My message today is on the subject of humility"? and I truly believe it is the best thing anyone has ever written on the subject. As someone once said, those who profess to know everything have a lot to learn. The longer I live and the more I learn about God and His Word, the more I discover how much I have yet to learn. The best way to remain humble in life is to be teachable, to say, Lord, please open my eyes and show me what I need to learn. This is David Jeremiah, encouraging you to get on the road to new life. Discover how God keeps us humble on Route 66.
Route 66, driving the word home. Log on to Route66Life.com and get your roadmap for life. That's Route66Life.com. Route 66, start your journey home today.
This is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams. Join the conversation by calling 505-338-5790 or text 505-585-LIVE.
Steve Stucker, the co-chair of New Mexico Men of Honor, is in studio. He's also an assistant pastor with New Covenant Church here in Albuquerque. He'll be teaching this weekend. Steve, when is that service?
Yeah, 10 o'clock Sunday, 7201 Paseo. I've been doing a series called The Red Letters, which is focused on the things that Jesus said, with the idea that if we would pay more attention to that and really focus on it, know what he said, know what he meant, and then take it seriously enough to really put that into our day-to-day thoughts and words and actions, that this world would quickly be a much better place. So I'd be honored if you came out to see the old pastor and forecaster this Sunday.
Amen. Steve, I've personally, and I've shared this with you and I've shared it with our listeners, I spent a long time coaching kids and embarrassing myself and others by yelling at basketball officials and just having a temper where it was kind of out of control. And I tried a long time to fix that, you know, kind of on my own efforts.
Yeah.
But frankly, I don't think I was humbled enough for God to ever take it out of my life until I went through a divorce. And that just smashed me to the ground. And for some reason, all of a sudden, God removed that. But it took confession of that as sin before God could do anything with it. Why is that important for one man to confess to another?
Well, first, I think because before we can confess it, we have to recognize it. And you probably went all those years with thinking, that's just me. That's just the way I am. Maybe my dad was that way. I know temper's been a big issue for me. My dad was a great guy, but he had a temper. And I can too. I really have to be careful. And it's something I've struggled with all my life. But to confess a sin, we have to first recognize that it is wrong and that we need to desire to change it.
But there's men right now thinking, oh, it's not macho to tell another man that I'm blowing it.
No, scripture says otherwise. We know there's great power in confessing our sins, both to Christ. We need to come clean with God. He knows anyway. It's like, you know, telling the truth to somebody who already knows the truth, but is waiting for you again to recognize that he knows, why don't I just come clean? But God, I think, gives us a gift in the ability to confess our sin to other men because it's freeing. And the term secret sin is real big with men. Mm. A lot of times it'll contain things that we're very ashamed of, like pornography or hidden alcoholism or drug abuse or cheating in our marriage or stealing at work or whatever. I mean, some of the most horrific things, and the church is in no way immune to these things, but it's a secret. But if we can confess it to a brother, someone that we trust, someone that we know has our best interest at heart, number one, there's a great freedom that comes with that. There's a release. It's no longer a secret. He knows, and he can come alongside and pray with me if I want him to be. He can be an accountability partner. I've been meeting for about a year and a half, a little longer now, with a guy that started off as me being his accountability partner for some serious issues that almost destroyed his marriage. And we've become great brothers, and it's a two-way street now. I can you know, talk with him openly about my struggles and my issues. So it's important and it's biblical. There's great power in confessing our sins to each other.
James 5:16 says, confess your sins to one another and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. That's the New Living
Bingo.
Translation.
That's what I just described exactly. And I've seen it happen in my life and with my friends' lives as we all go through this. And, you know, you were asking if we can make changes in our own lives by ourselves. I would say yes, but, and capital B, capital U, capital T, it's a lot harder and it takes a lot longer and it's so much easier to allow Jesus to do it. You know, when we were talking a few minutes ago and I said, when I first came into the church, people were very kind, very forgiving because I had so many issues. The ones I knew about were just the tip of this giant iceberg that was below the surface that I had tried to change on my own for years and years because I knew they needed to go away, but I failed. But as I became a believer and I started going to Bible study and really getting into my Bible and having mentors and listening to lessons and going to the retreats and the special classes and stuff, I looked up and so many of those things had melted away. God had changed me without me even thinking about it. And that was pretty amazing.
Still got plenty of issues beneath the surface to work on, in case you were wondering.
Interesting quote I learned from a friend of mine, John Jones, the president of LifeQuest USA. John came in a couple days ago and he said, there are people that in your life that will love you to death because they will never speak the truth and reflect it back to you.
Yeah.
So they're not helping your life. They're just not really participating. Yet there are those who, when they receive feedback, that where your friends, people that really love you, are saying you need to change this or that, our society calls that judgment.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a fine balance. When I was studying to become a pastor, I learned the term dynamic tension. It's both sides pulling against the middle to find a good place of balance. It's not compromise. It's putting it together. And we need to be able to speak the truth in love to a friend, to a brother or sister, without sounding like a busybody, without sounding like we're condemning them. You know, you just always haul off and say inappropriate things every time someone speaks to you. It's not the right way to do it. But, you know, if perhaps we can say, you know, I really love you and I know the situation you're in with your sister, and I would just like to ask you to pray about God helping you realize that sometimes you say things before you think them out and they hurt people. And then on the other side of it, we as good Christians have to be willing to accept valid criticism. You know, the Bible basically teaches us that even if it's unfair or invalid criticism, we need to examine it and see if there's even a speck of truth in it, because a good person will willingly accept criticism or critiques because it makes them better. Even if somebody criticizes you in the wrong way or in the wrong spirit, you can still benefit from that if you allow.
And the men at New Mexico Men of Honor are there because they need what you just said, those kind of relationships, but they also want to be those kind of relationships for other people.
Oh yeah, it's a fluid thing where we look up to those who we feel are more advanced in an area of life than we are. Maybe this man's been through raising his kids and them going off to college and moving to other cities and going through the empty nest syndrome. And this guy is at home right now with four little ones under the age of 10 and his wife is ready to kill him because he had the audacity to leave the house on a Friday night. But we'll take those things and we'll blend them together and recognize that we've all got issues. We've all got problems, but God looks at these as trials and tests, and scripture teaches that he won't allow a temptation or a trial to come into our life unless he knows we're ready to pass that. And we're there, New Mexico Men of Honor, to help get each other to the point of where we're going to pass that next test no matter what it is.
I understand that Valerie Jamison with Stand True for Blue has put together a number of women. Her husband attends the the New Mexico Men of Honor
meetings. Yeah, they help with the food and a lot of other things.
And what they do is they pray over the men. They're not part of the general meeting, but they're in the other room praying over what you guys are doing.
Oh, yeah. And in no way is New Mexico Men of Honor something where, you know, we don't care about or respect or want to be around the women. This is just saying that there are times for the two groups to gather together and to try and better ourselves, not so we can complain about our situations and our wives and our kids and our families and our jobs, but so that we can come together and go back into those situations more encouraged and better prepared than we were when we came in the first place.
Yeah, I've had a couple of emails where people say, well, what's with this New Mexico Men of Honor? Why don't they want to involve women? And actually, the truth is you're trying to prepare the men for the women.
Yeah, we want to be better husbands, better fathers, better leaders in the community. We want to be better listeners. That's something a lot of us men are not very good at with our wives. And our goal, the things that we work on, the things that we share, are directed in that way.
I've recently been brought to my attention in a fairly aggressive way that my tone is not always good. And somebody taught me this quote: you can be right and wrong at the top of your voice.
Yeah, you must have daughter about the same age as I do.
Well, and we can
learn from them.
Yeah, you have to learn. You have to learn. And they also need the freedom to know that when they speak into your life, you're going to listen.
Yeah. And hopefully for all of their lives, we'll be able to continue to earn the right to speak into theirs, because they get to a certain age, a certain stage, and they're independent and they have to go off and figure things out on their own, make their own mistakes, as I like to say. But God promises that his word will not return void. And we shoot them out as arrows and trust that God is going to land them on target.
And, of course, when your kids speak into your life, you can always make them sleep in the backyard. I'm just teasing. I'm just teasing.
Until they get out on their own.
That's right. We have Justin Hawkins. He's a professional basketball player and director of the Fellowship of Christian Athletes basketball program. He'll be speaking July 22nd at Casa Del Rey Church. That's located at 2500 Corona Drive Northwest. Again, July 22nd. Food trucks and things, Steve.
Oh,
5,
yeah. 5:30. Yeah, we get that about an hour ahead of time. People come and hang out, meet new friends. It's kind of like a reunion because a lot of the guys know each other but have just lost touch or have moved away. And it's a lot of fun. It's very low pressure and very worthwhile. I'm kind of a vegetable. You know, I work very early hours, and a Friday night is valuable to me. But four times a year, I really do look forward to this. And I say, guys, give it a chance. Ladies, encourage your guys. Push them a little to check this out and tell them, hey, don't go alone. Take a friend. Ask somebody from church. Ask the neighbor to go along and come back and tell me what you think about this, and see if it doesn't make all of us in our community a little bit better by bringing us all closer to who God wants us to be.
And Steve, you have some synergies true also with Promise Keepers. That's usually a huge annual event. I have not heard about that happening this summer.
You know, Dennis is our liaison with them. He's very involved, and on the weekly conference calls, he's feeling under the weather and wasn't able to make it today. But yes, we stay abreast of what they're doing, and I'm not sure of their summer plans, but we'll try and find out and get that to you.
Well, and we'll make sure that we promote him plenty of time. I know that Dennis's life has been, he's had a whole gamut of things. I mean, his story is very dramatic, being part of Promise Keepers, losing his brother on a plane flight up there, dedicating himself to a Bible study with a group of men that I think he's been doing 20 plus years.
Oh, yeah.
Being together as men, iron sharpens iron, is a good thing. You're invited out July 22nd. Steve, we so much appreciate you being here.
Thank you. I love this station. I listen every single day. Really appreciate all you do.
Thank you, brother.
ABQ Connect with Jim Williams is a production of KLYT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of staff or management at KLYT. If you missed any or part of today's show, the podcast can be found at abqconnect.online.